Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
I think we can see a smile from here.
Thanks, guys. It's all a bit of a blur right now.
Hi there, this is Christian Horner.
Hello, everyone. Max Verstappen here.
Yes! Yes!
Unbelievable, Max.
You're listening to the Red Bull Racing Podcast.
We're back. Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's round six of the 2017 season, and it's the one the whole world loves, Monaco, the most famous and glamorous sporting event on the calendar. Squeezed in between the jagged hills which rise so sharply and the harbour full of multi-million pound yachts on a shimmering Mediterranean sea, there really is no better stage for drivers to show off their abilities amongst some of the biggest stars in the world. It's one of the toughest and most challenging racetracks on the calendar, demanding the very best of the drivers both physically and mentally. It's a long race on a short track and you always need to be focused 100% on every corner. There is no room for error. One wrong move and you could be in the barrier, which generally leads to more safety car periods at this race than any other. Some of the world's biggest celebrities flock to Monaco each year for the four-day F1 party, and several make the Red Bull Energy Station their base. After all, if you're going to kick back and enjoy a motor race, then what better place to do it than at the most glamorous sporting event on the planet? Coming up on this podcast, we speak to Daniel Ricciardo and Max Verstappen about their Monaco races. We hear from Christian Horner and Monaco resident David Coulthard. We're going to catch up with some of the most loved Red Bull athletes from around the world. Plus, we have a brand new song from AWOL Nation to play you, and it's a belter. First, let's talk about the race this weekend. If you missed it, it's good news. Daniel Ricciardo worked an overcut strategy to vault from fifth on the grid to third place at the flag at the Monaco Grand Prix. He claimed his third Principality podium in 4 years. Daniel has become accustomed to spraying champagne. This marked his 30th podium in Formula One overall. He had us slightly worried at one point, though, when he touched the barrier after a restart. We caught up with him about it after the race.
I think I touched cloth. Yeah, there was a little bit. They're old underwear, so I normally race with kind of older stuff because I know these moments may happen. Still a bit there, but it's fine. That was pretty. It was unexpected because I didn't brake late or anything. I felt like I was quite cautious, but then as soon as I turned, I was like, the car's not turning, and then I hit it, and I was like, surely I've damaged the front wing or something. And then, so I'm kind of worried about damage, and then I see Valtteri kind of in my blind spot, so I'm like, well, don't let him get past, so that, the first few laps were tricky, but just happy to be on the podium, but more so happy to, obviously it's a reward for myself and the team, but happy that we showed pace today and showed what, more of our potential around these streets. I think the street circuits, you know, at the moment are obviously our strongest suit, but we have to obviously keep improving. You know, we tried this weekend that T-wing and all that kind of jazz. Whether that will stay on the car now for future races, we'll see. Whether it was a right strategy, a bit of luck, whatever, you know, it was a good call from the guys to keep me out. And then the best part was just having a clear track and being able to, you know, hit a good rhythm and show, you know, a bit more of our potential. That's what I felt we couldn't show yesterday. And that was why I was so disappointed, I guess, because, you know, you never like to underachieve. And there's only one Monaco in the year, and it's the one place you want to really show what you can do. So I felt in that period of the race it was a chance to show more of what we could do. So I was happy with that. And my engineer was good. You know, on the radio he kept telling me, pace is really good, keep going, and it was really motivating. So I feel like we all did our little bit today to make that podium possible.
Well, congratulations on the podium. I hope you've got some new pants now though, Daniel. It wasn't such a successful day for Max, although he did score some very welcome points for the team. He had such a great build-up across the weekend, but he was one of the drivers who suffered from pitting ahead of his teammate, and he had to settle for fifth place in his first Monaco finish. We spoke to him straight after the race.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. You know, it's very hard to after such a clean weekend to lose out on the podium. But yeah, you can't change it now. So it's not great, of course, what we did. But I guess that's racing. It's always very hard here in Monaco. So today we were unlucky. I don't know what's going on behind me. How many people are still like in between if you do a stop? And there were still signs in between, so that's always, you know, not great. Even if you want to do an undercut, and let's say I jumped Valtteri, then anyway I would have got stuck behind signs. So and you can't get past even on newer tires. I mean, you could see it after the last safety car. I was on the softer tire, but as soon as you get within a second, it's just really hard to follow, and the cars are too wide, so you can't do anything here. I'll try to have a better race next time.
We know you will, Max. Monaco is a very special place for David Coulthard. Not only is it a venue where he scored many racing points of his own career over the years, it's also a place he calls home. Steve caught up with him straight after the race.
Okay, DC, your thoughts on the Monaco Grand Prix, where Daniel Ricciardo brought home a well-deserved podium?
Well, that's his third podium in the last 4 years, so, you know, he's a bit of a specialist around this racetrack. I know he'll be disappointed, you know, still carrying that baggage from last year where he felt. And, of course, everyone recognised he'd done an amazing job getting pole, and if there had not been a small technical hitch getting the tyres on, he could have won that Grand Prix. But that said, Formula One, you know, sometimes it's cruel, sometimes it's kind, but he and both Max are, you know, fantastic drivers, and people like that come alive on a racetrack like this. I think we have to recognise that, you know, in this 2017 new regulations, Ferrari are very much part of the battle with Mercedes. They were the team that sort of dominated this weekend. But for Red Bull to get in front of Mercedes and get, you know, Daniel on the podium, it's a huge result. And, you know, absolutely underlines the fact that this is going to be a development battle to see who can get the better of them later in the year.
You saw a bit of a frustrated Max after his P5, but just one of those breaks, I guess, with the just missing the undercut on Valtteri.
You know, it's one of those things. You make a commitment based on what you believe the right decision is at the time. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, and of course, had it worked, then Max would have been quite happy. Of course, he wants to know where he is relative to Daniel, he wants to know where he is relative to Valtteri. Mercedes covered, he just wasn't able to do enough to affect the undercut in that situation, but it did work for Daniel. And that is the business of Grand Prix racing. It's a team sport, and therefore what you want to have is two of the best drivers in your car that you can possibly get. And there's no question that Red Bull Racing and Daniel and Max, they have two of the best drivers.
And good to see someone we obviously would know well here, Sebastian, getting the victory zone.
Yeah, you know, he's come up through the Red Bull Young Driver Programme. You know, he's defected to Ferrari, having, you know, decided he was satisfied enough with four world championships. But in the end, you know, drivers always remain true to those that have given them their break into Formula One. And, you know, in the same way that I always, you know, sort of carried a special feeling for Williams, because that's who gave me my break, I know that Sebastian remains a great friend to Red Bull Racing. And, you know, they're never going to begrudge him getting victories, and he's doing it with Ferrari. So, you know, there's cycles in motorsport. You know, Ferrari in the past have had great success, McLaren, Williams, all these teams. Nothing can take away the four-year stint where Red Bull were all dominant. But as true as that was, you know, something that's committed to the history books, it's always going to be a case of continually having to reinvent, continually having to adapt to new regulations. And that's what makes the emotional rollercoaster of sport so special.
We all know Monaco isn't just about the action on track. Plenty of action happening off track as well, especially here on the Rebel Energy Station.
It's been incredible again, hasn't it? You know, this is a unique Grand Prix. And Red Bull, way back when they first committed to doing the energy station, they looked at the paddock, looked at the harbour and thought, hold on, we're going to do this bigger and better. The parties have been immense all weekend, so everyone has felt like they've been a winner here. And you've got to just acknowledge, you know, as one of my partners, Heineken, would say, this is more than a race.
Absolutely. Well, DC, thanks very much for that, and we'll catch you again next time.
Thank you very much.
This is so much more than a race. You're right, DC. Talking of the Red Bull Energy Station, it really is the hub of entertainment in Monaco. We were joined by some of the greatest Red Bull athletes in the world. Imagine doing backflips and 360s on a 2-inch wide strap hovering several feet above the pool in Monaco. And you'll have a picture of what Alex Mason did for us this weekend. He's one of the best young athletes in the rapidly growing sport of slacklining. We spoke to him while he entertained the masses on the Red Bull Energy Station on Saturday.
I've been doing it for almost 10 years now, so I turned 20 in a couple days here, so almost half my life. And It's just when I started, it was tiny. You know, it's still a very small sport, but when I started, it was almost non-existent. And that kind of has motivated me, just because I've seen it grow so much. I know that if I put in hard work, it can be something much greater than it is now. And that's massively inspiring to me. So just doing bigger tricks and doing these events and doing projects and putting out more content really has an impact on the slacklining community and the world in general. It's my first time at any real race involving cars. It's quite insane. It's a lot of stuff going on, but I really enjoy watching them, and I really enjoy seeing the cars and learning about how they work and whatnot. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, the Red Bull Energy Station is really a really cool place to hang out all day. You get a good view of this tight corner over here, and there's TVs everywhere with what's going on in the races. And the pool is awesome. It's super hot in Monaco, as many of you may know, and getting to jump in the pool every so often is beautiful. But rigging over the pool is always fun because everyone's hanging out by the pool, and it's kind of a fun little obstacle to interact with.
That pool has seen so much action over the years, hasn't it? We also welcome trail bike legend Dougie Lamkin back to the Red Bull Energy Station this weekend, and we had to get him back on the podcast too.
It's been fantastic once again. I mean, it was amazing when I was here 4 years ago to do a similar demonstration with other athletes, but as usual, Red Bull's up the game on the whole of the Energy Station. It's absolutely massive and really good place to have a demonstration. Obviously, I brought my bike as well and just rode a couple of times, which was nice. But just use the sort of the natural landscape of the Energy Station here. I did come along the jetty, sort of get everybody's attention and just make everybody realise that there's a motorbike around, because people are definitely not expecting it. And then did a few tricks down at the bottom and some front wheel wheelies and some stoppies. Made our way upstairs because everyone's always talking about the swimming pool and jumping the swimming pool. So yeah, then start moving a few people around and a few tables and chairs. And yeah, we've got a nice bunny hop across the swimming pool. You have to stop very quickly though, otherwise you start flying off the side, and that would be interesting. But yeah, and then the finale, we finished off by riding across the bar as well. And it's a nice photo opportunity with all the backdrop of Monaco and the boats and everything in the harbour here. So yeah, a little bit of a treat. Supposed to be working, but actually we're just having some good time off. This is the pinnacle of motorsport. There's no question about it. It's, the whole environment here in Monaco is very, very special. And it's great to come here with Red Bull. Their hospitality area is about three times the size of everybody else's. So it's just a special place, and great to be a part of it.
I'd love a go on Dougie's bike. We also welcomed French freestyle soccer expert Sean Garnier onto the Red Bull Energy Station to bust out some of his tricks. He can keep it up longer than any man I know. We spoke to him after qualifying on Saturday night.
The challenge at the beginning was like to find diversity, because like when you juggle the ball, it's not like after a while it's becoming boring, so you have to find different tricks or different attitude. So I took a lot of inspiration from breakdance, basically, because like I feel like it's more expression than a sport himself. So I took inspiration from that, and you play on the music also. Mostly when we do shows, you see music, you have music around you, so you have to use this element. And we know today we are with Dougie and Alex, and they are doing like different sport, and I think like whatever I can take from them, the way they express themselves, the way they do tricks, it's not necessarily the tricks, but like it's maybe the feeling they have, you have to take it and bring on your own. I was here in 2009 for the Grand Prix, and now it's the second time, so it's like 8 years after, or 7 years, and it's like really fun to be here, like to see how stuff evolve and see like the racing fans. And it's cool to see, to be in different like kind of sport. It's like good to be in, to meet different people, different vibes. This is what I love to do, so for me it's perfect. And like to also to see like how the pilot like prepare their effort, like how focused they are. Like they had the game this week, like in the Monaco Stadium, like the World Star Charity, so they like to play football as well. So it's funny, I was part of the game like that most of the year, and it's funny to see like pilot, they like to play football, and I'm sure I will like to drove like a Formula One. Yeah,
well, you're always welcome to take out one of our cars, Sean, just don't tell Christian Horner. Talking of Christian, it's only right the final word goes to him. Steve spoke to him straight after the race in Monaco on Sunday.
Okay, Christian, P3 and P5 in Monaco, a podium always welcome, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to see Daniel get a podium today, beating Mercedes fair and square. Congratulations to Ferrari on their 1-2 finish. I think it's the first time they've won here in 15 or 16 years, which shows how difficult it is. And you know, also great to see both cars get to the finish line, you know, third and fifth. You know, it was unlucky for Max. We tried desperately hard to get the undercut on Bottas, and they were just coming up to some back markers. We went for the pit stop. Unfortunately, we lost about 0.4, 0.5 in the stop. It's very hard to get the cars lined up straight here, and we just lost a bit of time, you know, during that pit stop. But then, you know, a great outlap from him nearly got him ahead, as Bottas had to cover. By Bottas covering Max, that then opened up the track for Daniel, and he was able to use you know, his pace to great advantage, and he really got his head down and was the quickest car on the circuit for quite a few laps, setting purple sectors and purple laps. So by the time he got his pit stop out of the way, he'd managed to jump both the guys. So, you know, difficult for Max to understand, having been through with him after the race. He's sort of got his head around it because suddenly he's fighting for the podium and then his teammates ahead of him, but... You know, at the point in time you make these strategy decisions, you're working with the best interest with each driver that you can do. So, fantastic result for the team and our third podium of the season. I think, again, we've been closer again in pace and performance this weekend.
Daniel really seems to come alive at this place, especially when he's really dialed into the car. Those laps when he was trying to make the bridge and come to P3 in the strategy call were really impressive.
I did very, very impressive. I mean, as soon as he got the clean air, he'd already been saying in the train behind, you know, Max and Bottas that, you know, he was feeling really comfy in the car and he felt he had good pace, and, you know, he demonstrated that very clearly, and he's always excelled at this track. So, you know, he's done another great job today. I think in the four seasons that we've been coming here, that's the third time he's been on the podium.
For Max, maybe a little frustrated with P5, but a very impressive weekend for him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's done nothing wrong. That's what I said to him today. Look, you know, strategy hasn't gone your way. Today it's very easy with hindsight, with the ifs, buts and maybes, but, you know, Bottas was so focused on staying ahead of Max that's what created the window for Daniel. But his day will come. It's the first time he's seen a checker flag in Monaco. He's not damaged anything all weekend, which is again a first, and, you know, he's got so much potential that we can all see that, you know, he's going to have some great Monaco Grand Prix ahead of him.
And just on a final note, Monaco, of course, is not all just about the track. Plenty are happening off the track this weekend. You know, so many Red Bull athletes on board the Red Bull Energy Station, celebrities. What did you make of the overall atmosphere this weekend?
Well, it's nuts this weekend. So you're trying to do a job, and it's pretty distracting when you've got, you know, Dougie Lamkin driving through the Energy Station on his motorbike, or somebody on a bungee line, or a footballer, you know, and then so many personalities floating around, from Jose Mourinho to Serena Williams to all the Red Bull guys, and even Anton Deck, you know, turned up. So I think they've all had a good time. I mean, it's always an intense weekend, but, you know, Red Bull know how to put on a great event, and that's what they've done this weekend.
Brilliant. Thanks again, Kristen.
Thank you.
So that's almost it for this edition of the Red Bull Racing Podcast. If you're hankering after those Monaco vibes, tune in to the soundtrack to the Red Bull Energy Station with DJ E-Rock's Monaco Race Day playlist on our Spotify channel. You can get it by hitting up this website, which is wings.gs/MONSpot. That's capital M-O-N and lowercase spot. That's the place to go for the playlist. It's well worth it, I promise you. Right now, though, as promised, we leave you with a little treat. This is our friends AWOL Nation and their brand new tune, Run. We head to Canada next from the 9th of June, and we'll speak again later in the season. Until then, take care.
I am a human being, capable of doing
Ryan. Just calling to say what's up. I am working. I've been working since I got back to Mammoth, and I'm working for the next week. So I didn't call you back sooner. But I don't know, just calling to say hi, see how things are going. But we got to do something soon. I know we've been saying that, but we do. I hope you're all good. I'll talk to you later. Peace.